Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. I am super excited about tonight's podcast. We have a panel of Black coders on here to talk about all things related to coding, programming, what's going on in the tech industry, and how this industry has a profound impact on our community. So I'm really excited about the fact that for me, as someone who's kind of interested, well, I wouldn't say kind of, I'm very interested in coding, and I know a little bit here and there from what I've played with through Blogger and the Black Girl Nerds blog template, but I really find that this is probably going to be one of those podcasts where I get a lot of insight, and I'm going to gain a lot of information, and hopefully those of you that are listening will too. Before we get started on introducing our guests, I just want to make a couple of announcements. First and foremost, if you haven't already, last week I made a huge announcement about the She Thrives Network. So go to www.shethrivesnetwork.com. This is the first site of its kind. It's the first Black female-owned and operated publishing network. Very excited about this. I'm a co-founder along with five other bloggers, and basically this website provides a lot of information that is geared toward the new contemporary woman. So we have Black Girl Nerds that's featured on there. There's a blog called Water Cooler Convos, which is a pop culture political blog. There's a blog called Healthy Textures about relaxed hair, a blog called African Export. Her blog has a YouTube channel with over 90,000 subscribers, and she talks about natural hair and beauty. We have a blogger that does fitness, health, and wellness called Eat, Flow, Sweat. And then finally, the brainchild behind the network, Crystalline Karazin, she has her blog Beyond Black and White, which is about interracial relationships. So a large, diverse a substantive group of women that's providing really good content that's empowering and inspiring. So in the morning, when you go and look on your blogs, make sure you bookmark SheThrivesNetwork.com. Look at that blog first, and then you can look at all the, you know, gossip blogs later on. Also, a lot of you guys tweet to me and say, hey, you know, Black Girl Nerds, when does your podcast come on? Or, oh, yeah, you're doing that episode about Black coders. When does that air? Guys, make sure when you get an opportunity, go to blogtalkradio.com/blackgirlnerds. If you click on that follow button, that's going to give you guys that reminder. Blog Talk Radio is really good about sending a reminder to let you know about an hour before the podcast airs that it's about to air, and then it gives you the link. So if you haven't done so already, go ahead and follow us. That way you guys are on top of it, and you get the opportunity to see future podcasts on our page, because we actually upload what the future podcasts are about 2 to 3 weeks in advance to let you know, okay, next week Black Girl Nerds is going to be talking about this or talking about that. So check that out and make sure you follow us. And if you can't listen in live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, you can always download us on iTunes and listen through your iPod, your iPad, your iPhone. Or if you want to listen to us on Tuesday nights, again, 8 p.m., you can go ahead and go to www.urbansoulradio.fm and listen to us there. So you guys have plenty of options as to how to get a dosage of your Black Girl Nerds podcast. And if you haven't done so already, go to the BGN store, bgnstore.tumblr.com. We've got tons of shirts and accessories for you to get, and the monies for that does help fund these podcasts. So for those of you that have already purchased items, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And If you have purchased a shirt already, go ahead and take a picture of it and tweet it and make sure you mention it, me in it, at Black Girl Nerds. And then I'll go ahead and, you know, take a look at that and retweet it and show everybody what you look like with your cute Black Girl Nerdy gear on. So definitely do that. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. Tonight, it's just me hosting. We have a panel of four Black coders. So for those of you that's listening that got questions, you got, you know, you wanted to know about coding, this is the time to listen in and get your questions ready. You've got two ways to do it. You can use the hashtag BGN Podcast on Twitter, or you can call us 347-237-4616. We do have the chat room open on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, St. Clinton, for advising that. I haven't done that before. So you can talk with other blurs through the BGN Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio platform there. All righty. So, introducing, starting with Robert Young. Robert Young actually got his first computer at the age of 7. He learned BASIC using the books that came with the computer, and that led to a long love for coding and computers. Our second guest is Meka and Karen. Meka and Karen are both members of BlackGirlsCode.com. This organization's mission is to empower young women of color ages 7 to 17 to embrace the current tech marketplace as builders and creators. And our fourth guest is Daphne LaRose. She is the founder and creator of BlackFemaleCoders.com. It's a site where there's a space for women to make their presence known, both to each other and the rest of the tech community. Welcome to these coders to the show, guys. Thanks for being on the show. Glad to have you. I want to first. I want to first ask Daphne. I'm pretty familiar with your site, and we've kind of gone back and forth with sharing posts between Black Girl Nerds and Black Female Coders. But for those who aren't familiar with your site, tell us a little bit more about Black Female Coders and what you do.
Sure. So, the whole point behind it, why I started it really, is because I was coming mainly from my own experience, having been, you know, a Black female developer throughout my undergrad and graduate studies and now working full-time. It was just very normal for me, unfortunately, to be one of the few, if not only, Black women and or Black people in the room. I mean, for example, I currently work on a team of like 10 to 12 developers, and I'm the only female, and I'm the only person of color. So that's not an abnormal experience. And I was able to meet some other women, Black women, throughout my throughout the course of my field, but I haven't had a chance to come into contact with too many. And so I was like, there has to be more of us out there. And, you know, how can we find each other? How can we connect with each other? How can we network? And more importantly, how can we help guide and mentor each other? I mean, there have been so many times where I've had questions and just wondering about whether I made the right choice or how do I go against this roadblock? How do I do this? How do I do that? And it just kind of felt like there was no one around to answer these questions for me. And so I started this as a way to hopefully provide a space for other women to come forward and share their experiences, but also to share their wisdom and be both a mentor to someone and a mentee for someone else, and just be able to kind of collaborate and connect and share with each other. And I'm hoping that through sharing my own experience in a very open and honest way, I can inspire other women to do the same.
That's awesome. And Meka and Karen, you guys both work with BlackGirlsCode.com. Why don't each of you tell us a little bit about what you do with that organization?
Sure. Perhaps I'll go first. This is Meka, and I am the chapter lead for Black Girls Code, along with Karen, on our leadership team here in Memphis, one of the chapters of Black Girls Code. To share a little history about the program, the program was founded by Kimberly Bryant in San Francisco. She is an electrical engineer by background and has a daughter that's interested in technology, and they decided to start a program to encourage more girls to consider careers in the STEM fields, particularly in computer science. And it took off from the Bay Area to multiple cities around the country, including here in Memphis. And we've are excited to bring the program here. My own motivation for being a part of Black Girls Code has been my own two daughters, whom I also want to know that they're just as capable as anyone else to be successful as software developers. Not that they have to be a software developer like their dad, but at least they know a little bit more about it through programs like this. And so I'm glad to be here. I'll let Karen share a few words as well.
Karen, are you with us? Hello.
Maybe we lost Karen, but Karen was one of our first instructors, and she's also a software developer here in Memphis.
Karen, you on the air? Hello?
Okay, I'm talking. Hello, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, looks like you dropped off.
Okay, for some reason, it's not going through. But yeah, like Mika said, Karen Falshukuku, I actually got started with Black Girls Code because of Mika. He reached out to me and asked me to come on the instructor, and we just sort of took off from there. So I'm still relatively new to the organization, still learning the ropes and everything. But by trade, I'm actually an IT security specialist, but my background is in development. I was a job developer for about a good 6-7 years. My undergrad is in computer science and math. I got my master's in engineering management, and I was actually big on volunteering with the Black Data Processing Associates for quite a while, and I was their coordinator for their high school computer programming camp, and that was a program that we had that ran from about January to August of each year. Every Saturday, we taught middle school to high school kids the basics of coding, so by the time they left the program, they could take a set of requirements, build them out into a workable website, and then be able to give an awesome presentation on how it worked, what they did, et cetera. So it was a great experience for me, and which is why when Maker reached out to me, I was really happy to jump in and help out with Black Girls Code.
Good stuff. And then, Robert, tell us a little bit about what you do, and I want to address also two questions. We have one from Twitter from Marmar82 who wants to know, is there more to coding than just hacking?
Sure. Well, basically, I'm an Air Force veteran, and I'm currently a freelance web developer. I work on a couple of different contracts with actual defense contractors, and primarily JavaScript development, but I'm also moving into the mobile side. So I've been doing Android and iOS development, so Java and Objective-C. And you said you wanted me to field the question?
Yeah. He asked, is there more to coding than just hacking?
Oh, definitely. I would say that the primary trait or the primary skill that you get from coding to me is problem solving. It's about having or coming up either with a problem of your own that you'd like solved or somebody presenting you with a problem that needs to be solved and breaking that problem into different little smaller steps where you can basically code your way to the answer. I think that's, to me, that's the biggest benefit that we get from learning to code is being able to problem solve and break a big task down into smaller, tiny blocks.
Jamie, do you mind if I speak on that question, too? Because that really hits home for me. It's,
oh, yeah, no problem. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like I get that kind of question all the time, and I often find that people often ask me, like, oh, like, do you just hack for a living? Is that what you do? And I think that, you know, there's definitely, you know, a subset of coders who are hackers, but I think really Robert hit the nail on the head when he said it's about problem solving. And really what it comes down to is logic, right? It's just you have a certain set of inputs, and the whole point is that you need to figure out what those steps are to get you to the desired output, right? So oftentimes the examples that my professors would use would be even just washing your hair in the morning, right? So, you know, your hair is dirty when you start and you want it clean when you finish. And so what are the steps that you have to take in order to get it clean? It's like, well, you know, you first you wash it and then you do this. And then you break it down into really easy steps that you can follow exactly every single time to get the desired result. So I think what's so great about coding for me is that it really gets me to think in a way that before I started coding, I didn't really think about. Now I kind of, it's the lens through which I see my entire world, and I approach everything that I do with that same kind of methodology. And it's really nice to be able to incorporate that level of logic. I don't know if anybody else has anything to add on top of that.
I was going to say, I completely agree with you. It makes me look at the world like there's nothing I can't do. You know,
yeah.
If a problem's presented to me, the first thing that comes to my mind is how can I break this down into smaller pieces and fix this problem or, you know, find an answer to the problem. So it's a great way of looking at the world.
Karen, let me ask you, for those of us that are completely clueless to coding, and I will admit that myself because I don't know much about it, give us in layman's term, what is coding? What is that all about? Yeah, in dumb people's terms, like me.
That's great, because I am dumb too. So in layman's terms, coding. You know, and the way I like to think of students is when you talk about coding, all you're really talking about is giving a set of instructions for a computer or some other system to follow. That's essentially all that you're doing. And you want those instructions to be very logical so that you get to so that you arrive at the point that you were targeting. All right, so in simple layman's terms, all that coding is basically just providing a set of very detailed directions. Very detailed instructions, and that's the short and sweet of it.
Yeah, I mean, I liken it to speaking to a child. Really, it's like, you know, how do you tell a kid how do you explain a really complex subject to a child? You have to break it down into the smallest possible pieces that make the most sense. Like each piece makes the most individual sense, right? So it's like if you're trying to teach a kid how to walk. How do you do that step by step by step? And it's kind of the same with the computer. How do you very detailed, as Karen said, explain it to the computer to get something done?
And if I could add to that, you know, a lot of people who are not coders, when they hear that it's a set of instructions, that's exactly right, as Karen, as well as Daphne have explained. But there are different kinds of instructions that you can provide, right? There are like conditional instructions. So every programming language, for example, has if, then, else support, basically. They may call it different things, but you say, if this condition is true, do this. If this condition is false, do this instead. And you can also, with virtually any programming language, do loops to where it actually repeats. Right. So let's say you want to count from 1 to 10, or you define a counter and set it with an initial value, and then you define a loop that says from 1 to 10, count, for example. And certainly that's a more generic, basic example of why you might loop, but that concept is applied all over the place, both looping, counting, reusing lines of code that you've used repeatedly so that you can ultimately solve a problem, as Robert has said.
One of our Twitter followers here, Renee Muses, asked, has anyone made an iPhone app?
I've made an Android app.
Yeah, Android app here.
What's that process like? Is it complex or is it relatively easy with so much of these Android products coming out in the mainstream?
I'd say it's really no more difficult than, you know, any other kind of programming or coding. You're just dealing with a different platform with a different set of rules. So it was actually a pretty smooth move for me to go just from being a JavaScript developer to learning some Java and then building an Android application. It's the same logic is being applied. You just have to, it's kind of like learning a new foreign language. You know, you learn a new language and learn how to apply that to the problem that's presented to you or the problem that you want to figure out.
And, like, one of the wonderful things, too, not just specifically to, like, the Android community, but to a lot of different, like, programming platform communities, is that there's just so much information out there for you, just, you know, documentation and, like, other people who have, like, you know, struggled through it, too. So, like, if you, you know, get started and you just have no idea where to start, no idea what to do, there are always tutorials available for you to kind of get you in the mix of things. And there's resources that you could look up, forums you could go to. Like, that's, for me, that's the most wonderful part about it. And especially in terms of the greater coding community, is that people are just so willing to help and just so friendly. And so it may seem really intimidating to get started on a new platform, but, like, once you actually start digging a little bit deeper into it, you start meeting other people who are a lot, like, who are like-minded and have been in the same boat as you, and so they can help you.
Yeah, there's no better time. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to add a little bit also that I've done a little Android app development, but believe it or not, I learned from my daughter, who actually learned from participating in Black Book Code, where that's actually one of the workshops that's actually hosted by our program. So the kids learn how to build simple Android apps in a single day using Google's App Inventor, which is now hosted by MIT. And so it's very easy for virtually anyone. When I say kids, I mean my daughters are 12 and 9. So, and they taught me quite a bit about how to connect little blocks to make simple Android apps that make a cowbell ring, and if they shake their Kindles, then it'll ring, and it's really, really interesting, a lot of fun. So really, literally anyone can do it.
Nice. Good stuff. We got a couple of people that are waiting on hold to talk to us. They've been waiting a while, so let me just check and see if they're waiting on hold to actually call in to ask a question or comment. We've got area code 813 on the air. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds.
Hey, I'm so ecstatic about being on this show.
What's your name? Where are you from?
This is Andre. I'm calling all the way from Tampa, Florida.
I'm from Tampa. Woo!
What you got to add?
I'm glad I caught this show because I've been looking for you guys for about a month now. But
nice.
I guess my thing is, there's a one group I'm following called Code Academy, where they are pretty big. I'm following them on Twitter, as a matter of fact. My question is, I tried using Python last year. I probably should get back into it. It just takes a little bit of practice, but I guess being that I rooted my phone up quite a few times and just, like, doing stuff like that to my Android, I was wondering if other programming languages besides Python, are they easy to learn or not? Because, I mean, I'm not a coder. I'm a network guy, so I haven't really had the patience for coding, but I kind of want to get into it because see where that's going as far as the marketability and things like that. So I just want to ask the panel if which would you prefer as far as, like, longevity?
I could speak to that if you'd like. I've experienced kind of across the board. I picked up Python. I currently, my full-time job is working in straight C. I do security work, so it's all C. Some of it somewhat network-based. I've also had experience doing various scripting languages, so Bash script or even web scripting, so like PHP, Perl, et cetera. And I've also worked with Java. And so I've kind of, like, run the gamut in terms of, different types, different families of languages. To be quite honest, usually when people ask me if they, like, what language they should start with when they want to get into coding, I normally refer them to Python, only because I think it's one of those languages that comparatively, especially compared to, like, C or Java, I think is a little bit easier to pick up conceptually, just to get an understanding of what's really going on in the back end. When you get to languages kind of like C, it becomes a lot more low level, and there's a lot more involved in terms of like pointers and memory management and things that very abstract concepts that are difficult to pick up immediately, whereas Python kind of abstracts all of that away from you or for you. I would say that if you were looking, because you said you're a network guy, right? So I would imagine, have you done any sort of like written in bash scripting or anything like that?
Yeah, we've had to write a few batch scripts since I've been doing, since I've been in networking, just to get, just simple batch, nothing like really elaborate or anything.
Yeah, so I would recommend maybe a nice kind of like step for you after that would maybe be something along the lines of like Perl or maybe even like PHP. That way you're still kind of maintaining that like scripting aspect of it, and it might feel a little bit more comfortable to you, especially Perl, just because it's, even in terms of syntax, it's a little bit more similar to Bash than, say, Python or even PHP or some of the other languages. So it might be like a nice kind of bridge for you if you were interested in looking at a different language to jump into.
Okay. That gives me a little bit more of an insight. I appreciate it because I downloaded this big, huge tutorial on Python. Luckily, it was free. But I'm gonna probably see if I can try to find something from Perl.
I was just really quickly gonna say too, if you're interested in kind of learning step by step, just like jumping into code and starting with something really simple and then it getting harder over time, I highly recommend a site called thepythonchallenge.com. I don't know if any of the other if anybody else has used it that can speak on it now, but it's one of my favorites because it starts really simple, like really simply and like very basic, but the whole concept is you go to the site and you start on the first level and you solve the puzzle that they ask you to solve, and then to move on to the next level you have to put the right answer and append it to the URL to get to the next level. And what's so cool about it too is that there's like forums available where people have asked so many questions on how to do it and like for every single level, and it gives you the solutions in like as many different languages you can think of. So guaranteed they'll have something in Perl or Python or whatever. So if you're looking for kind of a starting point to jump in and practice, I would highly recommend that.
Okay. Appreciate it.
I'll add if you intend to grow with Python, and which as Daphne mentioned, there's a number of different options. So if you intend to grow with Python, and especially if you're looking for something that's marketable and want to take to the internet in any sort of web-based or mobile web integrated basis, then Python has a framework also called Django, sort of like Django Unchanged. So Django is a framework that actually makes web development using Python very straightforward. I'm not a Python developer. I'm a Java and C# developer. So I have my feet in those nets mostly. But I've got good friends who swear by Python and Django, and I definitely think Python is going to be a technology that you won't waste your time with. I think it'll be around for a while. So that's a fine path to follow.
Sweet.
Yep.
All right, that's the best thing I had all day. Thank you very much, guys. Thanks a lot. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks for calling in, Alan.
Thank you.
All right. Looks like we got another caller holding, so let me see if they are on the air. 949 area code. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
This is Albert Taruka. I was just listening in because I couldn't get my computer to work for the audio, but thank you for allowing me to speak. I run a website called minoritypostdoc.org, and I'm here kind of visiting for learning about what's happening in tech and diversity. I work with Danielle Lee, who is a prominent blogger for diversity in STEM, and we try to create sessions on especially STEM and education at different social media diversity conferences, and so I was curious if any of the speakers had experience with Blogging While Brown or Blogalicious, trying to create spaces there to have these types of conversations. And in a related question, if any of the speakers or attendees are active in professional societies or conferences that attract people who are diverse in computer science and technology, like the Richard Tapia Celebration of Diversity in Computing, or the BPDA, Black Professionals in Data Association, something like that. Thank you.
Well, I'll speak first. I have to admit, I'm not as plugged into the conference circuit, I guess, with respect to minorities in software development. I'm probably not all that well plugged in either with respect to blogging in that regard. You know, I have been active, obviously, in Black Girls Code, as I mentioned, as a chapter lead. But I'll admit I need to be more active. When I was in college, I was a member of BDPA, that's the Black Data Processing Associates, and I was a member of NSBE also, the National Society of Black Engineers. So I'm probably guilty of needing to return in that regard. I know that Karen certainly has been active with BDPA, and she may be able to share more insight in that regard.
Actually, let me be... I have actually not been active with BDPA for the past few years now. I was more active probably back in the from the 98 to 2005 period, and then our chapter sort of fizzled out. We couldn't get enough volunteers, so since then we haven't really been up off the ground. But what they do have, if you go to the BDPA.org site, they do have a lot of information, and they do also look to try to have folks that will be willing to at least start seeding chapters in their in their respective areas. But that's sort of about all that I have. And I don't really do a lot of blogging. I am more of a I just tend to like to listen in. I'll check all the I'll check out all the publications every now and then. I think they're pretty busy. I'm a mom with three kids, so they're pretty active. So between that and regular work and then just trying to volunteer as I can, we don't have too much time for anything else right now.
I can speak a little bit. I've been, I'm sure as Jamie could attest to, pretty plugged into the blogging sphere since I started Black Female Coders, and trying to get more plugged in with the conference atmosphere. I have not had the chance to go to as many conferences as I wanted to. I'm interested in going to the Tapia conference that has been brought to my attention, as well as the Grace Hopper conference, the Celebration of Women in Computer Science. I've been to that before, and I really enjoy that conference, and I'm excited to go back again this year. And through them, through that conference specifically, actually, I've gotten in touch with Black Women in Computing, which is a mailing list that they have, or they have a mailing list through Grace Hopper. And so I've been able to kind of get involved with the wonderful ladies that run Black Women in Computing, and we've been collaborating on various projects and whatnot. But if you are interested in, you know, finding out a little bit more, and I can also help maybe plug you guys into what's going on in that atmosphere, I highly encourage you to follow Black Femme Coders on Twitter, or message me at blackfemalecoders@gmail.com, and we can definitely be in touch.
Yeah, I have to say that I'm not very familiar with the professional organization, so I can't really say a lot about those. I have limited experience in the conferences. I've gone to, you know, several regional conferences, and I definitely stay up to date on a lot of the talks that come out of them. As far as the blogging side goes, that's the side that I'm starting to get into more, and I'm actually in the midst of starting up my own blog. So at least on that side of it, I'll be a lot more involved in the next few months.
Awesome. Good stuff. And when you do get that started, definitely let me know. Email me so that way I can promote your blog and your startup with Black Girl Nerds and tweet it out to all the Twitter followers out there.
Definitely.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you. And I'd love to help. My whole mission is trying to help the pipeline, and that's why some of these conferences and these professional societies are really involved in trying to get more undergraduates into STEM and tech in general. And so whatever myself, Danielle Lee, and I'm about to tweet, her handle is at DanLee5, and then there's another group called The Dark Sci, are people who are really trying to help the STEM pipeline which also includes, of course, computer science and coders. Thank you.
Absolutely, and make sure to pass on Black Girl Nerds information as well, so that way we can publish it and post it on the site and give you guys as much visibility as possible.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right, so I'm going to jump to Twitter real quick and just address some of the questions we've got from our followers. Looks like Ebony Jones says, what career trajectory do coders who are excellent problem solvers aspire to? Anybody want to take that one?
Okay, this is Karen, and I'll start by answering that first. When we talk about career, path that it pertains to coding, this is what I like to tell everyone. Coding is a great entry point in order to understand the building blocks, right? But I don't think it's necessarily something that you want to do for your entire career, because then you run the risk of just getting burnt out. Because after a while, you're going to realize coding becomes the same thing over and over again. So really, what you want to aspire to become more of an architect, where you start thinking about and fantasizing, okay, well, what is the best use of technology? What's the best use of our coding resources, et cetera? How do we design to fit a specific use case or a specific problem? Because what you're going to find is you have a lot of coders coming up. You have high schools. You have middle school. You have elementary school students that can code right now. But what they're missing, what you find a lot of coders are missing when they're coming from, like, countries like India, China, et cetera, a lot of these countries where they're outsourcing to, they understand the building blocks. They know how to code. But what's missing is the ability to think a little bit higher and look at actually designing what needs to be coded and making decisions on how it needs to be architected. So from my perspective, I would think as a coder, that would be the best career trajectory, per se, is to look at becoming more of the architect and designer, and then you turn the actual coding part over to someone else. That's just my two cents. That's based off of what I've seen at the course of my career. I might be a little bit jaded, but that's my opinion.
I'll follow up, Karen, in that regard. I'm often asked that question, or at least asked for some perspective in terms of, what a coder or a programmer does within the context of a company. People ask me what I do, for example. And I often describe, coding or being a programmer as an entry point along the lines of what Karen has described, but that you grow as a software engineer and a senior software engineer, and you grow into being an architect and a senior architect. I've been a software developer since I finished graduate school in 96, and so I am currently an architect for my current employer, Lokion Interactive, who also is one of the sponsors for Black Girls Code, by the way. And what that means is that I don't get to code as often as I used to, and I miss it sometimes. Our architects are pretty hands-on, though, because we take the approach that we want people to stay fresh with their skills. But as an architect, we recognize that coding is just probably the smallest part of delivering a software application, that the biggest parts are actually in defining the requirements of what needs to get built, then followed by that, doing design work on how to build it, then coding it for a short period of time, spending quite a bit of time testing it, and then the biggest time is actually maintaining and supporting it and enhancing it long term. So that's the context in which coding falls. It's actually quite a small part, and I surprise people all the time, or surprise kids that I speak to all the time when I tell them I may spend 5 to 10% of my time on coding, and the rest of my time actually in meetings or writing documents or designing, trying to figure out what we're going to code and organizing how we're going to approach it such that we build the thing right and build the right thing.
Correct.
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
I was just going to react to what has been said previously and just say that as someone who is kind of just starting up in my career, I It's interesting. I feel like in this conversation we have literally like range of skill levels and experience levels, which I think is really awesome. But as someone who's just kind of more so fresh out of school and hasn't been working in the industry as long as everybody else, it's interesting to get that perspective from this conversation and to hear that. And I think that's the kind of like advice and mentorship that I'm seeking to get to provide on the blog. And it's so interesting to hear that, because I feel like it's, even for myself personally, that's a question that I've definitely asked on multiple occasions. Is, you know, so what's my next step? What am I going to try to do after this? And I feel like it's something that, from people that I've spoken to, they've gained from experience that knowledge, but it's not necessarily something that gets passed down. So, you know, I appreciate what has been said, because I think that's very key knowledge. And being able to understand, too, that, you know, I think for me personally, there's a difference between the actual act of coding and then, you know, what coding kind of represents, and just like software engineering in general, right, and computing in general. And I think what they're speaking to are just like the greater aspects of working in the industry, and that it can be incredibly creative and incredibly fulfilling in different ways, not just necessarily you sitting in front of your computer typing.
And to Robert, what kind of salary does a coder make? What are they looking at from an entry level all the way up to the high end?
Yeah, it's a pretty wide, especially if it depends on what region of the country you're in. It depends on how much experience you have, and a lot of times, especially when it comes to programming and coding, that doesn't necessarily have to do with your degree. There could be somebody that's, you know, learned on their own, and you can tell by looking at their, you know, code repositories and stuff like that, that they could be a better coder than somebody that, you know, just graduated with a degree. So it depends on your experience. And a lot of times when you go in for, you know, interviews or whatever, you'll get you'll whiteboard, you know, coding questions, and they'll look at your actual source code and stuff like that to see what you're worth. But I'd say, you know, coming out of school, at least I'll talk about, I'm in Minnesota and Minneapolis, you know, somebody that graduates from college here and it has no experience in the field would probably start in the low 40s, 40,000 to 45,000 roughly.
Mm.
And it goes way up depending on your experience. It's definitely one of the better paid career fields out there.
Nice, good stuff. We got a couple of callers holding, so I'm going to go ahead and get to the calls. Area code 949, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Thanks, but I already spoke.
Oh, okay. You're hanging on. Okay.
Yeah, I can't get the audio.
Okay. Let's see here. Area code 501. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name is LaTanya Bynum. I'm from Arkansas here. Glad to join the call with you guys.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
What questions do you have for our coders tonight, LaTanya?
Well, I was just wondering, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering if you guys could talk a little bit about, my background is in health education, so I'm working at state health department. And with my background, I actually find it helpful to be able to use coding to help me in my career. I actually use a software called SAS to code public health data. So I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about careers that deal with coding as it relates to public health.
Good question.
I could comment in that regard. There is a huge growth sector with respect to at least health care. Maybe that's a different umbrella than public health per se, but in terms of health care, in terms of electronic medical records and things like that. It's just a huge growth area, in part because, you know, there's a mandate, a federal mandate for doctors to actually have their patient records available electronically. But also there's just a growing call for addressing what have long been the problems that we all hate, going to a doctor's office or going to different hospitals and having to fill out all your information all the time, for example, and things like that. So SAS, I know, is active in that space with a suite of products that they use for, making this simpler and more straightforward. So your experience with SAS is probably a good experience that's going to last for a while. But then there's also just a lot of growth in that area, especially entrepreneurially. For anyone that's interested in starting their own companies, it's a great space to jump into. So applying that to public health under the umbrella of healthcare, but nonetheless, healthcare in general is a great place to get into if you're looking for software development experience. So I'll stop. Hopefully that answers your question at least.
Yes, it does. I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thanks for calling in, LaTanya. Appreciate it. All righty. So we got a lot of questions from Twitter. So I'm just going to go down the timeline here because it's a ton. This is a hot topic, y'all. A lot of people are really excited about this conversation. Ebony Jones asked, do we as self-taught coders do ourselves a disservice by not networking via established organizations?
I'm going to answer that. Now, a little bit different. I don't think you're doing yourself a disservice by not networking with established organizations. You probably do yourself more disservice if you're not networking with other developers, et cetera. So they don't necessarily have to be established organizations. Well, what you'll find is if you can get in a little community or a little group of individuals that are like-minded, that have the experience and they have the desire, you'll find that hands-on experience where you're working through problems together, you're trying to find solutions, and then you're going and doing research and learning about additional languages and constructs, then that helps you just as much as being involved with an established organization. So I don't think you shouldn't necessarily limit yourself to, you know, if you have to be an established organization. This needs to be a group of like-minded individuals.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I would say for somebody that codes, get involved in an open source project. Get on GitHub, get in an open source project, and start networking with a lot of other developers. That's going to actually accelerate your learning rate so much to have other people looking at your code and you being able to bounce ideas off of them. So I think that's even more important than being a part of a more professional organization.
Yeah, and I think, Robert brings up a really good point, and so does Karen, where just, find the resources that help you the most, right? If you find that networking through professional organizations, I have many friends who are really involved in organizations like NSBE or Society of Women Engineers or anything like that, and that's where they get their resources from, or the majority of their resources. But I know for me, while I definitely get some of my resources from those organizations, I also get a lot more of my resources from just connecting with other developers. I think that's key, and I agree with Karen that you really need to be able to just network and create links with people. And I know one of the problems that I feel like we often face, especially in my opinion, within the Black community, is someone starts something And then all of a sudden, well, it's like, well, okay, it's cool that you did this, but I'm going to do something that's very similar to it but slightly different
because
I have my own special flavor that I'd like to add to it. And so I don't necessarily think that there's anything wrong with that per se, but I do think that, you know, we just need to communicate better. We need to reach out to each other. And if you really do believe that your, you know, whatever this other organization that you're going to start has something different that it's bringing to the table from what's already out there, then, like, push forward and do it. But at the same time, make sure that, like, you stay linked up and you stay connected to the people who have been doing it. Reach out to them and really just, you know, try to, like, get involved and create, foster more of a community as opposed to various silos that do very specific things.
And if I would add to that, too, and I definitely believe in African-Americans connecting with other African-Americans that are doing this, but I hope that we all are of the mindset that we're not limiting ourselves to just our own communities in that regard.
Right.
Just about every city, for example, has activities like Startup Weekend and 48-hour launch and different things like that, where people come together and try to start a software company or five software companies over the course of a weekend. And I can't tell you how many great connections I've made just participating in events like that. And that's been across the board in terms of people stepping up across racial lines even. And it's a great way to get connected and see who's good at what, and people that are technical and non-technical both come to these events, people with business backgrounds and legal backgrounds, and all their skills are used over the course of those kinds of events. And I'll add, again, for another plug for Black Girls Code, we take technical and non-technical people in our respective cities. And this summer, we're doing the Summer of Code, and we're going to 10 new cities. And so I'm not sure what city you're in, whoever asked that question, but that's another example of the type of program you can just kind of get plugged in and volunteer in, and before you know what, your network has grown, you know, to something that is to your benefit and then to the benefit for your local community.
And I would also add to that, too, just know who your allies are, in the sense that, like, understand how the different organizations that are around you could be resources for you and how you can be resources for them. So, like, for example, I see Black Girls Code as, you know, the starting point. They create the girls who will eventually join my organization, right? Like, they create the black female coders of the future. And so it's like, I see my site as a source for black women who are already in the field and developing, whether they're in school or in working full-time or whatnot, startups, et cetera. But Black Girls Code is a wonderful way to get even more black women in the field, right? So it's like being able to see kind of where your organization or where, you know, you personally even fit within the kind of, like, sphere of what's going on.
And I just want to add one more thing. Another really good place to look for like-minded people is, you know, go on meetup.com, and
yeah,
there are user groups for every language, you know, every technology. If you're near a decent-sized city, you're going to find a lot of different user groups that meet monthly or, you know, biweekly, and you're going to network with a lot of people and learn, you know, they have a lot of panels where they're, you know, teaching different things. So it's another great resource.
Yes, I want to start a Blurred meetup soon. Hoping for that, crossing my fingers for a Blurred meetup.
That sounds good to me.
We gotta work on that. We got another caller. Let me go ahead and get you on the air. Area code 501. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you from? Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Maybe that was the same call from before. 501 is the Arkansas area code.
Yeah. Okay. No problemo. We got tons of questions. Let me scroll down here. Okay, let's see here. Oh, here's a good question. This is from Melody Gordon. Are most black coders self-taught or formally trained? I guess it depends, right?
It does depend.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a similar story to Robert's, and that I got a computer when I was a kid, and I started programming in BASIC on that thing. So that was certainly self-taught. But but then when I was old enough to go to school and have classes in after school, especially in college, then, you know, I decided to major in computer science, and so I was certainly trained in that regard. But that being said, colleges and universities only teach you so much. You still learn so much on the job, when I say on the job, whether you're working a formal job or a small company, a large company, or serving as an entrepreneur, you're going to learn so much that they're just not going to teach you in schools. But so it's a mix, it's a milieu, if you will, of a lot. But what matters the most, in my opinion, is that you have that drive and initiative to want to keep your skills fresh, whether you learn it formally or informally.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I didn't even get my degree until, you know, I had, you know, done, you know, years in the Air Force and stuff like that. I was completely self-trained for a long amount of time. You can, if you're motivated and you, you know, learn languages on your own, you can definitely make your way in the, you know, in the coding world. But I'd probably say that they're, you know, it's probably split right down the middle, the amount of self-taught coders and the amount of people that go to college.
I would add too that you know, the question is, in my opinion, the question is tricky only because there's so few of us in general anyway. And so when I think back to my classes, I mean, the majority of the time I was the only Black person in my class. And I know when I, for example, when I started my orientation for my graduate studies, I ballpark probably upwards of several hundred people in the room, and I only counted 5 Black people, including myself, two or three of which were women, again, including myself. So our numbers are just very small. I would agree with Robert in that I would guess that it's probably split down the middle to some degree. But, I mean, I think really what a lot of it comes down to exposure, which is, again, why Black Girls Code is so incredibly amazing. But it's just being able to get that early exposure. I feel like in our community it's a lot more difficult to get the resources, even in terms of public schools. I know with the school that I went to, it wasn't necessarily in the best area of Tampa, and so the resources that it got were limited compared to other schools in the county, and that's like, you know, we didn't really have like access to, you know, fully fleshed out computer science courses or anything like that. And so being able to have that early exposure really puts in motion, you know, whether or not you're going to jump into the field later on, whether that's self-taught or through a more traditional educational route, right? So.
Yeah, I'd say right now, you know, this moment in time is probably the best time in, you know, in the world to be somebody that's interested in learning how to code. There's so many free resources out there for anybody that has the desire or the, you know, the motivation to learn a language that, you know, 10 years ago, you pretty much had to go to a college to get some of that information.
That is so very true.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest problem in the Black community in terms of getting, you know, into this space is not lack of access to information as much as it is knowing where to start and knowing where to go and having that kind of guidance. And I'm glad that we're growing a community that can really take the lead in that regard to guide people and where to get started. And I say that that way because for our workshops for Black Girls Code here in Memphis, we'll have space for 60 girls, but we'll have 130 girls that want to sign up because all their parents who don't know where to start their kids see this program and say, hey, okay, this is something that can finally get my kids into this space because they all recognize it's important. So I think to what was just said about so many resources being available, Khan Academy, Code Academy, so many different things are just available to get started. So much better than it used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Twitter, York Whitaker asks, are there any iPhone apps that can teach us how to code?
Not a bad idea.
So you guys need to get started on that. If nobody's done it yet.
Yeah, I don't live on the iOS side very much, so I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't something out there like that, but nothing that I know of off the top of my head.
Well, there's got to be something from Code Academy or Khan Academy, for example, that can get you started.
Yeah.
But in general, I'm not aware of any, but I think that's a great idea. So many mobile devices, from iPhones to iPads and Android devices, that it's just a natural to have something like that. That's a great idea.
I know one thing I can speak to. So I found it's not necessarily, you know, for those who are beginning and don't know where to start with coding, but for those who actually just want to, like, code in general on a mobile device, there's a bunch of, like, wonderful terminal IDE apps out there. I think the one that I have is actually literally called Terminal IDE, but what's so cool about it is that you can actually, like, program on your device. Now, I will, you know, tell you that the keyboard is really annoying, so you might end up having to plug in a micro USB keyboard to it anyways, which in essence kind of turns it into a laptop. But besides the point, you know, I found it really cool to be able to, like, actually open up Terminal on my device, specifically my Google Nexus, right, and be able to, like, you know, open up Vim and, like, all these different text editors and whatever and like, actually write and compile Java and C applications on my device. So that was pretty nifty.
Now, looks like we have another caller that just popped in, so let's see. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, so it's fun. I'm actually calling from my shower right now. This is exciting. Talking about technology.
You're calling from your shower?
It's actually awesome, boys. I'm taking a shower. Here's my friend, Coon Josh. Where's the wall? Just scared him in the background. Where's the fucking show?
Hello?
I'm sorry, I can't understand a word that you're saying.
Same. You're on the air. Okay, maybe the shower.
Less than bottle of electronics in the shower, right?
Yeah,
there.
Calling from the shower. That's a new one for the Black Girl Nerds podcast. So it looks like back to Twitter, Shelley Ellis, who is a BGN contributor and co-host on our Black Girl Nerds podcast, she asks that she's taken computer science courses and changed majors and felt really isolated. She wanted to know, are Black coders challenged to find more mentors or support?
Yes. That is why my blog is in existence. Yes.
Yeah,
that is something I think about every day. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. It's just it's something that I'm so incredibly passionate about and that I see such a need for. And, you know, as someone who was in her position and still is, really, seeking a mentor is so, so difficult because you just don't know where to start. And oftentimes you don't necessarily have accessible examples or role models that you could reach out to get that kind of support. And just being able to find people who can answer your questions. Sometimes you just have, like, really burning questions about things. Like, even when it comes to, you know, the question that was asked earlier, what is the typical career trajectory of a coder? Like, being able to find people who can answer these kinds of questions for you is so, so difficult. And especially as, you know, a Black coder in the field going through your studies, I mean, it can be a very isolating experience depending on how you navigate it. And so it's definitely something that is at the forefront of my mind and that I'm trying to figure out different ways to help with that because I think it's so important. And really, you know, I've had multiple friends who started off, Black women who started off as computer science majors but ended up switching out to something else only because they found that they weren't getting the proper support that they needed or the guidance that they needed. They felt so isolated in their experience. And so I really want to figure out what I can do to help prevent that.
Nice.
I think that's commendable, and absolutely I agree. We have a considerable shortage of mentors. We need more, and we need more that are willing to step up and be mentors. We've got some who have skills, but sort of bury their talents, if you will, and just their job and not outside. So we definitely need more of that. From my own experience, I was blessed to have some mentors. I went to a historically black college, in my case, to study at Morehouse College in Atlanta. And so my teachers were, in that case, were mentors for me, at least for me getting started. And my personal goal is to pay that back in a sense to be mentors to others. But again, we definitely need more mentoring.
On Twitter, and Karen, this question's for you. Akiko Harada asks, how easy is it to learn basic computer coding, and what are some good resources or books that she can buy?
Okay. Hey, easy, that's a relative term. It depends on how motivated you are, really. But no, seriously, the way I look at it, anything can be done if you want to put in the time necessary. So when you're talking about easy, one of the sites that I've had a lot of kids use is the www3 schools. And they have everything from Excel to Java, et cetera. There's Java Ranch, which is really fun for folks that are starting out. It gives you the basics of coding in Java, et cetera. In terms of books, honestly, I have never really relied on books. I think once I got out of college, I don't think I popped another book for doing any coding. Everything that I've really done has just been sort of going on blogs online, doing a lot of Google searches, joining a lot of different forums, et cetera, and just making sure I get ingrained in that IT development community so I knew what resources I can go and ask questions to, et cetera. So that's about the most I can give in terms of that particular question. Not any particular books, but it's more of you taking the time. Like I said before, Make a said it, some other folks said it. There are so many more resources online these days, so many free resources online, that if you want to be a developer, if you want to learn the basics of coding, you can go out there and just Google whatever languages that you want to learn, and you'll get so many hits. But for me, what I found that works best, been to W3 schools and the Java Ranch and those types of sites. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and it seems to me with books, not to put down books because, I'm a bookworm myself, but it seems like with respect to coding, that's sort of a thing of the past, that now with websites like Code Academy, there's tutorials online that will guide you as to how to inscript and enter in lines of code. So it seems to me that it would be easier to do and learn and even do self-taught courses online as opposed to reading it in a book.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think books are good as to have as a reference. Mm-hmm. To have a good book, next to you as a reference when you really need to, look up something or like that. But I would say, to look at something like Khan Academy. They're really good at walking you through, from the very, very basic levels. If you have internet access, go to Khan Academy, and it's free, and you can learn about stuff even besides coding. But they have a pretty good introduction to programming type of curriculum, and maybe have a book as a reference or something to read when you're not practicing online type of thing.
Now, what's the difference between Khan Academy and Code Academy? Are they relatively the same?
Khan Academy is sort of like a free online college for a lot of different topics, and Code Academy is code specific, so they do Python, Ruby, JavaScript, jQuery type thing, and they have some basic curriculum, and it's pretty good. But I've gone through their JavaScript one just to kind of see how it is, and for somebody that's a complete beginner to programming, they're going to miss a little bit, and they might be a little confused starting there. I just found Khan Academy kind of breaks it down for somebody that wouldn't have any experience. I think it's a better place to begin, and then maybe go to Code Academy after that.
And one thing I would say too is, you know, the difficulty with books, right, with the specifically coding books, is that they oftentimes, unfortunately, they assume that, like, a prerequisite of knowledge, right? They assume that you already know how to code to some degree, or that you know some other language, and thus can transfer that knowledge to whatever their material is specifically, and they don't necessarily go through the basics in depth as they should, which is why, you know, sites as the ones that have been mentioned are really helpful, because they actually start from scratch and they make the assumption that you don't necessarily have those prereqs, right? But the one thing, too, that I would also argue is that I know in my experience and also in, because I actually asked this question to a lot of my developer friends, and I just kind of asked them, you know, how did they get started with development? And often the common theme is just that they picked up a book or something that had sample code in it for whatever it was that they, whatever idea that they were trying to implement, and just started doing it. So they, for example, they would open up a book and see a little script that allows you to print, you know, hello world in the terminal, right? And so they would basically take this script, copy-paste it, you know, following the directions in their book into their, you know, into their text editor, and, like, the book would tell them how to run the code, and thus they can kind of see step-by-step how things work. And so then, once they actually see it happening, then they can go back into the code and start playing with it, right? So they can make small little modifications. What happens if I change this, you know, this word from hello world to, like, hello my name, right? Or how can I now get it so that I can type in my name and the computer spits it out? And so you kind of build on top of that knowledge. And I think, you know, for me, one of my mantras is that the best way to learn to code is just by doing. Just, you know, you just kind of start doing, and you build on top of that knowledge.
What about, and please forgive me if I sound ignorant by asking this question, but what impact does SEO have on coding, if any?
Probably not much. You know, SEO, you're talking about search engine optimization, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, so you do certain things if you want, you know, to have, you know, better hits in terms of, you know, search results. So the impact on coding, I guess, in that case is on your HTML or other relevant content that you got for your website or your web application. Whereas the coding, like if you're coding a web application, there are generally four parts to coding a web application. There's HTML, that's, you know, that's across the board, of course. There's CSS, which is the cascading style sheets for how to decorate things on a page, for lack of a better way to describe it. There's JavaScript, which is very important that allows you to do a lot of interactive things. JavaScript is a very powerful language that lets you do a lot of things. Those three things are almost universal for any web application. And then there's a fourth component that varies based on with your background. So there was conversation about Python earlier, and I mentioned Django. There's a web framework that kind of, you know, lets you do those other three, coupled with Python, lets you do HTML, CSS, and JavaScript coupled with Python. I follow a framework called Grails that uses a language called Groovy that's based on Java. It does the same thing. There's PHP. There's Ruby on Rails. So there's so many different frameworks for that fourth leg of that four-legged table, if you will.
but that fourth leg is largely unrelated to SEO. Maybe some others have some things to chime in, but really SEO is oriented around getting your web application or website more visible,
right,
especially for the right kind of searches.
So that doesn't have any impact on it for the most part.
So I wouldn't say that I would actually kind of phrase it differently, right, in the sense that coding doesn't have an impact on it, but you have to, like, use code to implement it. So, for example, one of the ways to kind of optimize your SEO is by having those meta tags in your HTML code, right? So, like, those are the tags that different spider sites and spider searches, such as, most common, Google, Bing, whatever. Like, that's what those are the kinds of things that they look for when they hit your page, to be able to categorize it and then have it come up when people search for different things on those sites. And so, if you want to make sure that you can get as many hits as possible with certain types of categories, then you really utilize those meta tags to do that. And in order to utilize the meta tags, you actually have to put them in your HTML code. So that, I think that's kind of where the interplay between code and SEO happens.
Thank you.
I agree. very well said.
Thank you. Thanks.
Now, this question is for each of you, so I just want, we'll start with Daphne, Robert, Meka, and then Karen. What is your favorite thing about being a coder? What's the best part of what you do?
The best part of what I do is that I've yet to hit a topic in my life that I get so incredibly, like, fiery, passionate about. It's just one of those things where I kind of fell into computing later on in life in terms of, like, my college years. And so I just love that it brings out a fire in me that not a lot of other things do. And I just love the logical aspect of it. It just kind of clicks for me. It makes a lot of sense. And also I love the creative aspects of it. One of my favorite, like, moments as a coder is just being in the zone, right? Like, I have a feature I need to implement and make work, and, I know what it needs to look like at the end. I have the vision of it, almost like an artist, right? I have the vision of it in my mind, and, it's just me and my laptop going at it. Like, we just need to make it work, figure out how to do it, design it and architect it in a way that makes a lot of sense, as both Karen and Megan spoke to earlier, but being able to bring something to life in a way that's actually kind of immediate compared to other, other fields, I guess, has been really exciting for me. It's almost like instant gratification. And it's so funny, too, because it's like, you get something to work, and it could be the smallest thing in the world. Like, you write up some HTML and JavaScript where someone, like, pushes a button, but the screen doesn't refresh, and you're like, yes, like, I did it. But then you try to show someone, and they just don't have that same level of excitement. It's kind of disappointing. But it's really, really, like, nice to be able to get that feeling of accomplishment from it. And, that's what I love about what I do.
Nice.
I think for me, it kind of makes me feel like a carpenter. I've always kind of, thought that was cool that somebody's like, I want a table. I'll just, get some wood and put, throw a table together. I wish I could, do that with my hands. If I need a bookcase, I could get some wood and throw together this nice bookcase. And I feel like that I can do that, with my coding. If I see something on, in my browser, if there's something I'm missing on my Android phone and I want an app for it, I can make it myself.
Nice.
Or if there's something on the web that, I see that kind of, I think, looks wrong or whatever, I can fix it myself. So it makes me feel like, somebody that, like a workman, I can build stuff. It might be just digital things, but, I can build things, and that's a pretty powerful feeling.
right. Well, I'll chime in. The question is the best thing about what you do. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I agree with all the things that have just been said, especially the creative aspects. I love the you know, it's like writing a paper, except I hated writing papers. But like writing a paper. But writing a paper, you get, you know, you give two people a subject, and they're going to write two different papers, right? Two different styles. And writing code is the same way. You know, you get the same problem. People are going to produce two different ways to do it, and there's so much room for expressing yourself creatively. So I certainly love that. I love that in the end, you're solving a problem, right? And I especially love when I solve a problem and you know, my code is running somewhere, you know, that people are using in real life. You know, I get the satisfaction that my code is actually being used by people to solve their problems, right? Because that's why I wrote it. But what I really love the most about just having this skill is the opportunity for entrepreneurship. This skill allows you to build something from nothing, if you will, like Zuckerberg and the boys built something from nothing and became wealthy. And so having the skill, and that's why I want more people to have it, especially young girls like my daughters, you have the power to go from worst to first, in a sense, just from having this skill. So those are the things I love about coding and software development in general.
Well said.
Yeah, beautiful thing. How about you, Karen?
Okay, let me preface mine by saying I don't necessarily code the majority of the time in the position that I'm in right now. I said I sort of transitioned over to IT security, so I pretty much code as needed. And so for me, what I like about that is, you know, I talked about that. I like the power and the fulfillment of it. And to me, it's therapeutic. Just being able to look at something and know that, man, give me a few hours or a few days, maybe in a few weeks, and I can have this fixed. I can have something put in there, whether it's going to be a workaround or it's the full fix from ground up. It's a great boost, per se, for your confidence. It's good to sort of get that feeling of fulfillment and accomplishment. I've actually fixed something, I've solved something, etc. So like I said, for me, the best part about that is just that it's therapeutic and I get that fulfillment from it. And that's really it. That's what it really boils down to. Another thing about it for me is I like the fact that it is not something that is rocket science. And that's what I try to make sure, you know, young people understand, young girls, young boys, especially, you know, minorities. It is not rocket science. Don't look at the Asian person in your classroom or the Indian person in your classroom or the Caucasian person in your classroom and think that, wow, they must be really, really smart to do this. No. They're not really, really smart. They just took a little bit extra time. And if you took that same little bit extra time, you realize exactly how simple it really is. Because once you understand the building blocks, man, you have got a toolbox that you can just literally take over the world with. And you know, to me, just getting that message out there and getting a chance to get that message out to the younger generation, that makes my heart just about burst. Because that means that, you know, a few years from now, a decade from now, or two decades from now, we're going to have that many more, you know, minorities in the field. Right. And I think, like I said earlier, you don't see a lot of us, you know, in this field, at a lot of these conferences, et cetera. I specifically remember going to VMware conference, VMworld conference, a couple years back, and there must have been about 12,000 attendees there, and I could count on one hand the number of faces that I thought it looked like mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And wow. There another black.
Yep.
But it's amazing how technology is great, great for life. You know, so they may initially look at you and have certain expectations or stereotypical thoughts, et cetera, but no one can deny, you know, a skill. No one can deny knowledge. And that is what tends to sort of bring us all together.
the modest effect. So I know I went a little bit off topic there, but I'm a little passionate about that aspect of it.
That's a beautiful thing. I'm glad you expressed that, because you're right on about, you know, the fact that, first of all, you saying that it's not rocket science, I think that's a light bulb for a lot of us, because we think it's very intimidating, and we think that you have to go through tons of years of schooling in order to get this sort of skill and be able to utilize it. So to know that you just have to take a little bit of effort, take the time to pace yourself, know that the tools and the resources are available to you, and that now you have groups like blackgirlscode.com and Black Femme Coders, Daphne's organization, that are here to support and mentor you. It's a beautiful thing that this is going to be something that's easy for us to be able to get in on and to be able to capitalize on in the future and build our communities with. So I really appreciate that. If you guys could each give your shout-outs, social networking sites, websites, blogs to all of our listeners before we go, that'd be great.
Sure, maybe I'll go first. Certainly shout-out to blackgirlscode.com, and especially our Summer of Code that's coming July and August of this summer, going to 10 new cities. Please go to the website for more details. They'll be there shortly, blackgirlscode.com. And certainly reach out if you are interested in starting a chapter in your city. We've grown to 10 cities and doubling that this year, and we've even reached Johannesburg, South Africa. But we're not in every city, but we need to be. So certainly that's my shout out.
I'll give a shout out. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I'm on Twitter at Robert C. Young. My personal website is madebyrobert.com. It's basically my portfolio site. And like I was telling Jamie earlier, I'll have a new blog coming soon. It's going to be called Pretty Green Robots, and it's basically an Android development blog.
Nice. Robert, as Jamie had expressed earlier, please ping the rest of us when you've started this blog, because I would love to connect.
I definitely will.
Awesome. Especially because I love learning about Android development, so it's really
I'd love to have you on there.
Cool. So shout out to Black Female Coders. The URL is blackfemalecoders.tumblr.com. I'm currently in the process of building the new site for Black Female Coders, which will just be blackfemalecoders.org. It's still under construction at the moment, trying to get everything together. But also hit me up on Twitter. It's Black Femme Coders. That's my handle. My personal handle is Life is Sweet Good, and that's kind of my moniker for everything else. So if you're on GitHub and you want to connect on GitHub, I'm Life is Sweet Good on there too, so just hit me up, get in contact with me. blackfemalecoders@gmail.com is my email address if you want to message me. I try to make myself as approachable and responsive as I possibly can. Do know I work a full-time job, so I get a little busy from time to time, but I will try to get back to you, and I will definitely get back to you. It just might take a little longer sometimes, but please get in contact with me, especially if you're a Black female developer who's just looking for a community, or if you're someone, anyone, whether you're Black, female, or whatever, like looking to get into coding and just need a little bit of advice, or looking for, you know, just someone to talk to G-chat, whatever, hit me up, and we'll talk.
Awesome. This is Karen, and I second everything that that Meka said a few minutes ago. Shout out to Black Girls Code, great organization. Also, shout out to BDPA.org as well, even though I haven't been involved in quite a while. And then one other thing I want to mention is, you know, I know we're talking a lot about coding tonight, and that was the focus of, you know, that focus of this forum, et cetera. But I just want to take an opportunity to let everyone else, to just let everyone know that, you know, it doesn't just have to be coding. When we want to look at advancement and look at what's coming next down the pike, what's going to be the next big thing, where opportunities are going to be, where are opportunities going to be abounding, definitely open up your eyes to looking at the IT security world. And I say that because right now, I mean, there is a need for individuals that are experts in secure coding,
yes,
secure development, et cetera. There's a definite need out there for network security specialists, for penetration testers, for application developers that specialize in just the security aspect of things. Folks that, and I know there was a question earlier from one of the folks that called in about healthcare and opportunities for coding there. Oh, it's not just opportunities for coding. It's a whole lot of opportunities around the whole IT area when you're talking about healthcare, because you're looking at a lot of these HIPAA and PII laws that are being enacted, and they need individuals that are very well-versed in those policies, in those requirements, and are able to take those requirements and translate them into working applications. So that's just my PSA for the evening.
No, I completely agree. As someone who's currently working in security, Karen, I'm right there with you. It's really on the verge of, if not already, being the next big thing. So I completely agree.
Yeah.
Good stuff, guys. Thank you so, so much. This was such an informative podcast. We got a lot of feedback from our Twitter followers, a lot of chat room discussion. A lot of people are going to go to all of those websites where you can learn about coding and those tutorials, and then all of your respective organizations as well. So thank you for coming on tonight. Next week, our podcast is going to be about Black cosplayers. So we will have Chaka Cumberbatch. I hope I pronounced her first name right. She is an EXO Jane contributor, and she wrote this great, profound article about her life as a Black cosplayer. And then we also have Chelsea from the Tumblr blog Cosplaying While Black that will also be with us to discuss cosplaying in the Black community. So, again, thank you, Robert, Daphne, Karen, Makeup. Appreciate you guys for coming in tonight and talking to us about coding.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie.
All right. Take care, guys.
Take care.